Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Unnamed MMA Podcast with Jordan Sherwood and myself, Mario Heron. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. We got some news. It could have been the perfect right off to the sunset. Greece, they're in the car going into the sky. But instead, Justin Gaethje tells us, Jordan, that he's going to fight again two more times. What do you think about that?
Are you a little bit upset? Nice pull on the movie, by the way.
You like that?
I expect you to be quoting and referencing Greece, but well done. I'm very, very impressed.
Multi-layered.
Yeah. I mean, I think we wanted the swan song. We didn't want it there because really, I don't think anybody had the in reality that he was going to beat Ilia Topuria and win the way that he did. But now that we have, now that Justin Gaethje is the unified lightweight champion of the world, we wanted a decision. We've never been put in this. I was trying to contemplate the last time we were in a situation where we had a fighter win a championship and didn't know they were going to retire. Like George St. Pierre, we knew he wasn't going to be defending his middleweight title when he won it against Michael the Count Bisping. But because it was so unexpected, we now wanted a decision to be made, or I wanted a decision to be made. So while I wanted him to retire, I thought it was the appropriate thing for him to do. I'm happy we're learning, we're knowing he's going to fight. And he's going to fight Armin Sarukian, or he's going to fight Charles Oliveira, and he's going to be defending the lightweight title. It just goes back to what we've talked about time and time again, Mario. Like, we need divisions to move on. We need championships to be defended. We need fighters to fight. That's what they're supposed to do. So when we hear the announcement that Gaethje's going to fight again and he fight two more times, good for him. I'm happy. Book the fight. Let me know when he's stepping into the octagon next and who he's fighting against.
Yeah, I think it is honestly like an exciting time of just big names that are a little bit older in their career but still going, knowing that there's still a lot left in them, right? Like we go back to Charles Oliveira thing when he signed an eight fight contract. You're like, okay, well, wow, with that many miles. And then we have Justin Gaethje, who goes through this war, beats up Ilia Topuria. We thought, you know, maybe he hangs it up. He says he has two more fights in him. So there's a side of this where it's going, hey, you know, especially if you're my age, you really kind of grew up with these guys and they're still going and they've still got some more left in the tank. That's perfection. That's awesome. I am excited because, like you said, like I think him versus Armin's going to be very funny leading up. I think it's going to be a good matchup, especially with Armin's like, oh, I'll pay you $1 million because you, you know, won my bet against Ilia. First off, which is crazy that a UFC fighter can bet on other UFC fights. I was like thinking about that the whole time. Like that should not be legal. And the matchup styles, obviously, too, that leads up to it. Would you also be like a little bit surprised if Armand gets skipped on again and they give it to
Not at all. We I think we had a show completely dedicated to how big of an asshole he is.
We did.
And just how frustrating of a fighter that he is. I mean, he is, without a doubt, in recent memory, the most deserving title challenger, no matter the weight class. He deserves to fight for the championship next. It's just unfortunate he has not been able to schedule that fight. He hasn't been able to come to an agreement on that fight. But yes, the lead up should be great. I want to know what that date is. And more than likely, I will be betting on him to win the fight, because I do think that he is a better fighter than Justin Gaethje. He might not be prepared for what you were referencing last week on the show, going into deep waters. Gaethje's been there. He's built in the same cloth as a Sean Strickland, knows how to do it. And Armin Sarukian strikes me as the type of fighter that might struggle if the fights go into the later rounds and he's forced to pull out a victory outside of just talent alone on grit and heart. But bottom line for me is I think he is the better fighter, and I do believe he would defeat Justin Gaethje if they are standing opposite each other in the octagon.
When the odds would come out, I think obviously Gaethje would still be the underdog in that. I think he'd probably sit around like plus 180 if I had to put first time it comes out, but obviously it'll get bet and that will change. Also, I wouldn't be shocked just because of hearing like kind of Gaethje's interview, Jordan. I was thinking about this as well. you know, Gaethje's been pretty active in the last year. He's up there in age, and he said himself, like, hey, I took a good amount of damage. I'm not the most healthy right now. Like, I need time to recover. I need time to, you know, get myself right before I fight someone else that's kind of coming for the belt. I would not be shocked. Just maybe you need some blood flowing. Maybe you need some movement in that division. If they do, maybe do Armand versus Charles Oliveira, part two. And you say, all right, the winner gets the shot at the belt. Like, I don't know if that's completely out of the realm. You have Oliveira that's always ready to go. You know, Surikian's just doing, like, every wrestling tournament in the world. So, you know, he's ready to go. And then he wants to build momentum. He wants to build his brand up a little bit more. I wouldn't be shocked if we see a number one contender fight going. And you kind of hope. And then on the other side of that, you have Benoit St. Denis, obviously, versus Paddy. We've talked about this before. Winner gets Ilya, in my opinion. And then you just kind of have – then that guy that wins that fight is in waiting, Armand versus Charles, who's the true number one contender. I wouldn't be shocked if Hunter Campbell kind of puts that together and we see that to finish out the year. Because I don't think we'll see Gaethje again until 2027 at the latest. Like, I think spring 2027 would be what I would expect him to fight again.
Yeah, I mean, I maybe am still holding out hope that Gaethje could make a late winter return. They haven't announced it yet. We talked about it prior that usually there's a fight card at Madison Square Garden that would be great for him to headline or be a part of. I am absolutely in favor of what you just talked about. If they can't get Gaethje scheduled right away, you absolutely can run Armin Sarukian versus Charles Oliveira back as a fight because it was so close, because Charles Oliveira, despite getting the, you know, handed the knockout against Ilya Topuria, he bounced back and he's looked great against Matush Gamrot. He looked great against Max Holloway. And the guy still has an 8-fight contract that he needs to fight out. And also, quite frankly, this could be the perfect way to introduce the new ranking system that the UFC is apparently now utilizing. They released it, and they released their top 10, and they tried to explain a little bit more about activity is going to be rewarded, and fights that you won 5-6 years ago won't hold as much water as they do, you know, in recent times. That's all well and good if you could come out with a top 10 ranking system now with a new ranking system, but I want to see it be applied. You need to see it actually. Okay, because Armin Sarukian is ranked number one and Oliveira is ranked number two. They're going to fight and they need to determine who's the number one contender, you know, for the lightweight championship of the world. So you can get me all excited or tell me that national, the rankings mean something, but they won't mean anything to me until you actually become a part of the matchmaking that Hunter Campbell and Sean Shelby are responsible for.
To your point on that, you know, I said when the White House, when they added Hoka to the card, that was kind of my pet peeve with it was, hey, you're giving him Derek Lewis after he just beat up Curtis Blaydes. And that was a guy that was ranked lower than him. And I'm like, how does that make sense? And then obviously it's because of the name. It's because of the White House. And you know that if he wins, it's going to launch him to a whole different atmosphere. He kind of, you know, fucked it up on his own. But, you know, point still stands. I do – like, there's some people that say they're not the biggest fans of these meta rankings. I saw, like, a thing, like, I guess, like, overseas. It's kind of, like, all messed up, and they have, like, guys from, like, 2006 in there, or, like, 2010. I just all screwed up. But I do think you should reward the people that are the most active, the people that do the most damage. I mean, Colby Covington was a top 15 fighter in his division up until he got cut. And you're like, when's the guy fought? You know, when's the last time the guy's beating anybody up? And these rankings should mean something. Like when Jack Del Manna got his title shot against Bilal Muhammad, you know, he was the 5th-ranked fighter in the division. And I had, like, a lot of my friends asking, what happened 1 through 4? I'm like, good question. You know what I mean? So I kind of in the same boat where, hey, let's make sure, like, these actually have some type of meaning behind it, some type of push. I also, you know – I work in media, love media guys, you know, they're awesome, but you know, they're pricks sometimes. And I think sometimes they get it wrong. So like to put it up against a system that's going to be, you know, more by the numbers, I don't think it's that bad of an idea.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that it can't be you can't be solely reliant on it.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, it's got to play a factor.
It has to be a factor, but I also want the pricks in the media being a factor. You know,
yes,
I would love to raise my hand and say, hey, I'd love to be on a, you know, a pool of 13 or 14 representatives from the MMA media world that are ranking fighters and putting together these matchups. But I think it'll help maybe with a little bit of clarity. Maybe it'll help a little bit more with interest. You know, originally when these came out, that was the whole focal point, was that you were going to take kind of the college football, college basketball model and got excited. Oh, number three versus number five. And it's going to, you know, cause some you know, interest in that division and, you know, cause a guy to go up, go down, what have you. But that kind of got thrown to the wayside, and there really wasn't any meaning anymore because guys were getting title shots without really being deserving of it. So I'm excited to see it, you know, come to fruition and how it's going to be enacted. But we'll see, because they just announced it, but now we got to see it actually take place.
And I hope this helps really kind of pump up the title of number one contender, because I feel like that's lost some juice, right? Like, it's when they have the, oh, this is the champion, then the number one contender in the world, you know, Ilya Topuria, you know, Merab Dvalishvili. I know I'm saying former champion, so that's really helping. But that title, I feel like we've lost it a little bit. Like, is when Sean Strickland's going to fight Khamzat Chimaev, he wasn't the number one contender in the world. Like, you'd argue it's Nasruddin that would be that, right? That's the part where I hope it maybe brings up. Carlos Protas or Ian Garry, like when Ian Garry fights Islam, he is the number one contender in the world in that welterweight division. I just hope that has some meaning, because that's a part, such a big part of the fight game that just adds so much excitement to it. So,
yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, let's just play out that scenario. You know, so Protas and Michael Morales are apparently supposed to fight.
Yeah.
Ideally, the number one contender should be the winner of that fight.
Yes.
But if Ian Garry beats Islam Makhachev, is Islam Makhachev now the number one contender because he's the champion and he just lost, or does he have to go back to the drawing board and, you know, he gets ranked number five in the welterweight division? And are guys ranked in because now we've got people jumping weight classes, is Islam the number one ranked lightweight in the world and the number five welterweight in the world? I don't know how that's going to play out. So that's why I think also, like, maybe ideally for me, you know, on the broadcast when – John Anik is saying, all right, we've got Michael Morales and Carlos Protas, and actually the winner of this fight will be ranked number one in the world, and they will fight for the title next. You're just having that definitive. But you probably can't do that because of timing and schedules and injuries and, you know, everything else that happens in between.
Yeah, I agree. And I really hope Michael Morales and Carlos, I hope that does come to fruition. And I know he's my boy, and it really sounds like I'm in love with him. I actually do agree with what he said when he was asked in an interview with Ariel, like, you know, is it smart for either guy to kind of even take that fight? And he says, absolutely. And I think it's smart for both of them. Like, look, Michael Morales, this will take you to a whole different level. Carlos Brates, you will solidify yourself as number one, and you're probably the baddest motherfucker in that division right now, just with your activity and the striking that you've been doing. I'm excited for it. I really, really am. I think it's going to be amazing. I think it's going to be beautiful. I do want to ask you one quick thing, just balancing around. You mentioned the guys moving up in weight. I saw this late, and I had a note for myself, and my alarm just actually went off, like the reminder to bring it up to you. So I'm really, really sorry that I'm doing this right now. But Diego Lopez is moving up to lightweight.
Okay.
Who do you think would be the perfect first fight for him at that division? Because I was trying to think about this last night of who would be the perfect welcoming. And I was thinking the loser between Benoit St. Denis and Patty could be a good first fight for him.
I don't love that, I think, because we've got so many different scenarios for them.
Yeah.
Why, in my mind, and I got to go to the rankings, Dan Hooker immediately comes to mind as a welcoming party to the lightweight division for someone like that.
I think Hooker would probably be the perfect one.
Maybe Hooker, you know.
Qualin, maybe?
Who?
Money Morikano.
Oh, yeah. Hanato, sure. He's got a doesn't he have a fight coming up? I think he's got a fight coming up that he's got somebody. You know, it would be sick if it was Mauricio Rufi, but that they wouldn't do that to him. Yeah, he's got to fight somebody actually ranked in the top 10. I'll stick with Dan Hooker. I think Dan Hooker is a good litmus test to you know, welcome yourself. And also, Hooker is a former 145-pound fighter. So, you know, also a nice dip of your toe into it. I think, ideally, I don't think you throw Diego Lopez right into the grind of the lightweight division. Let's just see what he could do, you know, because that's the other thing, too. You know, I think as you develop these rankings and you start to think about fighters and when they jump weight classes, does the number five lightweight in the world immediately need to fight in the top 10 of the welterweight division?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. Like, you know, you got to test yourself against some of those killers at 170.
Yeah. No, I mean, every time we've seen it, I mean, especially recently, like, these guys are just getting, because they're former champs, are doing title shots right away, you know? And then it's like, after they win, what do you do with it? Like, Paulo Costa gets one win in that division and he shoots right up. And then people are like, oh, is he close to the title? You know what I mean? So it's kind of it's a tricky one to kind of figure out. Does it come into play? How big is the guy really? And how easy or how hard was that weight cut beforehand? I'm happy Diego Lopez is making that move, though. I mean, this division just never loses excitement. So I'm pretty excited to see what happens and who he takes on next. Dan Hooker probably might be the most perfect fighter for that one. And his press conferences leading up to it will be certainly entertaining. Let's hit the fights that we have coming up this weekend.
Yeah, you said you have some bets that you're going to fire off on.
I do. I have one of my favorite fighters, the Bullet. He's back.
Yep.
And anytime I see him fight, especially when it's Michael Pereira, who's got a lot of miles on him, I'm thinking it's going to be short and it's going to be quick. And it's under 1.5 rounds, is plus 210. And that's the bet I'm going with. I think it's going to be lights out pretty quick. I think it's going to be a firework type of – the last two fights on this card are going to be fireworks, by the way. I think that's a pretty good call in the matchmaking. But I think he's going to get in. He's going to get out. More of a home crowd feel for him as well. Under 1.5 rounds. Other bets I don't mind is Shara plus 140. I don't think it's a bad one either. But that's what I like for this fight.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not as in favor of Shara Bullet ending this fight quickly. I think that he's going to be a little bit tentative and try and find his openings. And Pereira, I don't know what type of fighter he is. He's just not the same guy. Hernandez took his soul a couple of fights ago, and he just hasn't been the same since. Then he also got absolutely blitzed by Kyle Daukaus, and that knockout by Daukaus put him on the White House card. So I'm on board with Shara Bullet. I just don't know if we're going to get as a quick finish as you anticipate. I do like Manuel Torres in the main event. I just think from a speed standpoint, a youth standpoint, Rafael Fiziev is a great fighter. And this fight, obviously, fight card built in and around him and some of the other area fighters, but he just hasn't been the same. He doesn't have the same speed, and he doesn't have the same reaction to strikes as he once did before the knee surgery. The other guy that I love is Casey Jones, Mikhail Holajacek, you know, the guy from the Fighting Nerds. You know who I'm talking about, Casey Jones.
He's
plus money right now against Bas Magomedov. I think that's a fight that he could win if he doesn't, if he prevents the fight from, you know, getting taken down early on. If he grinds it into the latter half of the first round and then into the second, I think it's his fight to lose. He's plus money right now, so I do like him. And then Abdul Rahman to absolutely choke out Julius Walker. Rahman's 2-0 in the UFC, two very quick submissions. Julius Walker's been relatively unimpressive as a guy, and I think he's going to get submitted and then sent his walking paper. So those are the two fights that I'll probably fire off on as well as selections. But it'll be fun. But remember, 8 a.m. Central Time prelims.
Oh, yeah.
11 a.m. Main card, so you got to wake up early, watch some World Cup, watch some fights for UFC Bacow this Saturday morning.
I can't. I love the early start time so much because I have to get up early this Saturday too as well. It keeps me going.
Yeah, I know that. I know you loved hanging out with Chauncey and doing the fights and doing the shows. I'm the opposite. I am a family man. I have shit I got to do with the kids, so I like Saturday nights when they're in bed, and then I could just relax and not make it and not stay up to the main event. So I guess I will watch the entire fight card or, you know, semblance of it because it's during the day.
It's also a minus 2000 of when I have it on and Shay comes into studio. I go, hey, Shay, how's it going? Is your UFC fights on? Yeah. Just doesn't do it for me. Really? It doesn't do it for you, Shay? We have this conversation.
Yeah, he said that to me as well. But yeah. it does it for him, like when it's, you know, lends to his pocket. So he likes his pocketbook being filled.
I know, right? It's weird how that works. It's weird.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I agree with you on those bets. Before you get out of here, we have to mention them because I'm feeling confident. I think it's happening. And I think McGregor, he's doing his press tour. He's claiming he's this new man. He won't release, by the way, what weight he's walking around at. So that must mean he's fucking heavy, or at least was. Because that's what's going to be like, oh, so you, dude, you must really put it on. You have the drug testing situation too that's going on with him. That's why like there's a beef between them and the UFC. Jordan, how are you feeling about all this? Are you more and more confident that he's going to make that walk to the octagon?
Yes, I do think we will see Conor McGregor a week from Sunday, and or a week from Saturday night, I should say. And I don't know if there's been an announcement yet on a replacement or a fill-in fighter. That'd be very interesting to hear if there's someone else kind of waiting in the wings just to make sure. Because the whole fight card is built around Conor McGregor. You know, you don't have Conor McGregor. I really don't know what you have. But I love it because the more and more intention, more and more people realize that Conor McGregor is going to be fighting a week from July 4th. And that's more money that's going to come in on Conor McGregor, which is going to make them value even better on Max Holloway.
Oh, I got a perfect fill-in. Dan Hooker.
I thought you were going to say Diego Lopez.
Yeah, like Diego. How about 177?
He would do it.
He would do it. No, I think Hooker might be the perfect one. He can get up to 170.
Oh, yeah, it is at 170. Sorry, I was thinking at 155 for some reason for a minute. I don't know. Can't wait for it, though. It'll be exciting.
Oh, I can't. It's a little thing, but his press conferences, like he still has his fastball. I don't think he has his fastball and fight anything that's gone, but he still has that in his conferences, and it just makes me laugh. I'm excited for it. Max Holloway's speed and his power at 170 is going to be a huge problem. An early bet thought that I have for this, if you like Holloway, take it in the later rounds. If you like McGregor, you might as well take the under in the fight.
Yeah.
And take it early. Yeah. Because McGregor is going to want to get in there and just knock him to the ground, and that's it. And what have we seen McGregor throughout his career? The longer it goes, the more he fades, man. Yeah. He does not like it to go deep in the waters. That's not his mojo. That's not his game. Especially with the time off that he's had since fighting. I mean, the last time he fought, I was literally in college hitting a bomb. Like, that's literally, I remember that word for word happening. So he doesn't want this thing to go the distance at all. Shape is going to be a problem for him. And he's a guy cutting weight. Max won't be cutting weight, so he's going to be more tired overall. Do we have anything else for the people before we get out of here?
Because I know again, we got those fight selections. So FatJackSports.com, you know, winners over the last 5 weeks. So we've been on a nice solid run right now. Got more coming out there. And obviously, we'll be excited for a more dedicated show for Conor McGregor a week from today.
God, I can't tell you how excited I am for that. I'm more excited about it for Paddy versus Benoit St.
Yeah, that fight will be sick. That fight will be great.
Oh, and
Gable Stevenson's debut on the prelims now, not on the main card. So,
yeah, what a move right there on that.
Yeah,
and very. I would love to see his turnaround after he wins. How quickly he gets a fight? Because I imagine they give it to him in the fall. Like, all right, buddy, get him on the Josh Hokit schedule, or you're going to be a superstar in a year. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Unnamed MMA Podcast with Jordan Sherwood and myself, Mario Heron. Make sure to like, share, subscribe. Make sure your mom likes, shares, and subscribes as well. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time.